President Biden is joining the family of Tyre Nichols in calling for peaceful protests this evening. That's when officials in Memphis will release police body camera footage, which shows five Memphis officers brutally beating the 29-year-old who was pulled over in a traffic stop on January 7. Tyre Nichols died 3 days later. His mother, Ravon Wells, told CNN this morning that she thinks police at first tried to cover it up.
He had bruises all over him. His head was swollen like a watermelon. His neck was busting because of the swelling. They broke his neck. My son's nose looked like an S. They actually just beat the crap out of him.
Our Friday Political Roundtable joins us now to reflect on this moment and other news of note in politics this week. Sahil Kapoor is senior national political reporter for NBC News. Good to have you, Sahil.
Great to be back.
And Tolu Olorunipa is White House bureau chief for The Washington Post and co-author of the book His Name is George Floyd. We're glad you're with us, Tolu.
It's great to be with you.
Well, the lawyers for Tyre Nichols' family liken what's coming out of Memphis to the 1991 police beating of Rodney King in Los Angeles. Tyre's stepfather, who's seen the hour-long video, told CNN that other officers actually stood by and watched.
There was maybe 10 officers on the scene, and nobody tried to stop it or even after they beat him, and they propped him up against a car. No one rendered aid to him whatsoever. They walked around smoking cigarettes like it was all calm and like, you know.
Tolu, here we go again. Another beating of a black man by police. What is going through your mind today?
Well, exactly what you said. This is another instance that of the kind of instance that we have seen over and over and over again in our country. And it's a sign that something definitely needs to change. It's pretty clear that we have a problem with the way policing is done in a number of communities. And it can't be forgotten that very often the victims, the people who die in these kinds of instances, are black and brown men, black and brown people. And it's yet another occasion where we have to reflect on the history of injustices in this country and figure out what we need to do so that this does not happen again. But it is happening again, and we have not seen the release of the video as of Friday afternoon, but it's clear that based on the descriptions of the video, this is a heinous act. This is something that these officers have been charged with murder over, and we are hearing comparisons to the Rodney King beating. We're hearing that this is an act of inhumane violence against a person by people who are in power. And that's something that everyone should stand against. And it's going to be a cause for soul searching in our country to try to figure out how we stop this from happening over and over and over again.
Mm. And elsewhere in our program, we had spoken with the family's attorney who said some very similar things. Sahil, there were desperate demands for changes to policing back in 2020, but police reform failed in the last Congress. Why?
That's right. There was a major effort in the last 2 years of the Democratic-controlled Congress to enact a police reform bill. Democrats were largely on board with this. They actually passed the George Floyd Policing Act through the House of Representatives, but it stalled in the Senate. There were months of negotiations led by Senator Cory Booker, a Democrat, Congresswoman Karen Bass, a Democrat, and Republican Senator Tim Scott, who was the party's liaison for this issue. They ended up reaching an agreement on a number of significant issues like limits on chokeholds and no-knock warrants, some national policing guidelines, mental health resources for police officers, as well as maintaining records for misconduct. But the one big issue that negotiations ultimately broke down over was this idea of qualified immunity, whether to make changes to that, whether to shield police officers from civil lawsuits. This was a major breaking point for Republicans. Tim Scott opposed those changes. Our reporting at the time suggested that he had demanded that Democrats get the support of sheriff's groups before he and other Republicans were willing to support something like that, which was, of course, never going to happen. Talks ultimately broke down, and President Biden issued an executive order. Now the House has changed hands to Republicans and hope there's even less hope of something happening. And of course, the political backdrop of all of this is over the last several years, really since the George Floyd protests and some of the violence that occurred in the midst of all of that, Republicans have taken to using as a political cudgel the idea of what some activists call defund the police against Democrats. That political overtone has kind of subsisted over the last 3 years, and it is a tactic that the GOP has been reluctant to give up.
Let's head to Capitol Hill, Washington, for a moment. Yesterday, President Biden fired a shot across the bow of Republicans in the House who want to cut spending before they agree to raise the limit on how much the U.S. government can borrow to pay its bills.
Look, if Republicans want to work together on real solutions and continue to grow manufacturing jobs, build the strongest economy in the world, and make sure Americans are paid a fair wage, I'm ready. But I will not let anyone use the full faith and credit of the United States as a bargaining chip. The United States of America, we pay our debts.
Sahil, you've been reporting on this political fight. First of all, are Republicans on the same page on what exactly they want when it comes to spending cuts?
They are not. Republicans are on the same page abstractly in saying they would like spending cuts attached to a debt limit increase. But I spent the last week, I would say 2 weeks, talking to several dozen Republicans on Capitol Hill, and there's nothing close to agreement on what exactly should be in a bill. There are abstract ideas, everything from dollar-for-dollar spending cuts to tackling everything from Social Security and Medicare to defense spending. There are divisions within the party about how aggressive to go. There are no dollar figures or numbers that party leaders have talked about. Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who is leading this push on behalf of his conservative hardliners, has only talked about cutting wasteful spending. So there's no agreement among Republicans as to what exactly to ask for, but they are in general agreement that they won't lift the debt ceiling cleanly with no strings attached. They say there must be budgetary concessions involved. Mm. And this is shaping up to be one of the most consequential battles of 2023 on Capitol Hill, because the consequences of failure are enormous. This is not simply a government shutdown where federal funding would lapse for a few days or a few weeks. This is about whether the country would default on its obligations. It could mean everything from higher interest rates on home and car loans to a stock market crash, a recession, the government having to make excruciating choices like sending out Social Security checks or funding the Pentagon. Mm. The stakes are very, very high. And at this moment, it's hard to see what path there is to a resolution.
Yeah, no, it sounds very dire. Just quickly, Tolu, do you think Biden will compromise this time around as President Obama did back in the debt ceiling showdown of 2011? Democrats then agreed to spending cuts.
It seems highly doubtful. I think Democrats regret that decision. They regret all that we've seen since then. They don't think that Republicans are negotiating in good faith. And so Biden is going to bide his time. He's going to wait and see whether Republicans put something on the table, whether they are willing to say what they want. And they think in the White House that anything that they say, anything that Republicans say they want, will be politically disadvantageous for them and will make it harder for Republicans to rally the country around this idea of not paying the country's debt in order to pursue some goal of spending cuts. So I don't expect Biden and the White House to negotiate. They're going to sit back and wait and see what Republicans do, and we might find ourselves in a very dangerous game of chicken in a matter of months. Mm.
Well, also this week, there was bipartisan outrage among senators about not being able to see what kind of classified documents have been found at the home of President Biden and also the homes of former President Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence. On CNN this morning, Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, said everybody looks bad.
I just there has to be better checks and balances on this. But now we find that, you know, Vice President Pence, both of our president, former President Trump and now president, everybody should have regrets because it can get into the wrong hands. And classified documents are truly classified.
Tolu, has the discovery of the Pence documents this week changed the story for the White House? Has it released the pressure on Biden quickly?
In some ways, it has made it easier for Biden to explain what happened and say that this happened, that this was a mistake, that we handled it the right way. But it also has relieved some of the pressure on President Trump, former President Trump, by making it seem like this is something everyone does, making it seem like the fact that he took classified documents is just par for the course. It's something that all presidents, vice presidents do, and it's no big deal. So this is a little bit of a wash for the White House and the president, because they did want former President Trump to be in his own category. But it does appear at this point like everyone looks bad, like Joe Manchin says. And so the White House has to like the fact that they're not on their own, but they don't like the fact that it does appear that they are in a category with other folks doing the wrong thing, including the former president and the former vice president.
Tolu Olorunapa is White House Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. Sahil Kapoor is a National Senior Reporter for NBC News. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Great to be with you.